97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. Hans and Scotty, time to chat some NBA with a good friend of the program from NBC Sports and Pro Basketball Talk, ProBasketballTalk.com. It's Kurt Heelan. Kurt, how are you?
Hey, Kurt.
I'm probably doing better than Jazz fans, so I'm good. Yeah.
Jazz fans are a little salty today. They're not happy about the officiating in that game last night.
No, I don't blame them for being mad about the ejection. I think that there's been a string of it's almost like the officials started talking amongst themselves or through the union or whatever. And I mean, because J.J. Redick got ejected the other day for like basically rolling the ball back to the official. And, you know, I don't know if you saw Darius Booker's Booker got two within like 5 seconds from different refs. I didn't like the ejection. I generally tend to be, I mean, I don't know what's said. I'm not next to the court. I don't know what words were used that might have crossed the line, but I'm generally not a fan of ejecting or penalizing players for showing emotion. And if you are in an intense game like this one was, where you've got two, you know, look, you got the top team from each conference. This is, I don't know if it's going to be a finals preview, but it's a potential finals preview, and guys are testy at the end of it. Yeah, you've got to let them vent a little bit, and I think sometimes the officials don't do that and don't give players space. They certainly didn't give Donovan enough space to do that last night. And again, I don't know what he said, and there are lines that can cross, but the second technical is really an issue, man. Like, you've got to give guys some leeway when they're emotional like that. Or, better yet, start a dialogue earlier in the game so it doesn't quite get there.
Kurt, we love having you on for multiple reasons, but one of my favorites is sometimes we're a little too close to the story or a little too close to the situation. And I love that you've got a kind of an outside perspective. How unbalanced was it with the officials from an outside look?
I'm not going to make a lot of friends here. I didn't think it was egregious. Were a lot of 50-50 calls kind of going against you, but a lot of those were, there was a fair amount of contact on plays where, you know, the fouls were called or not called. And how should I put this? It probably could have been more balanced, but I don't think that there was one like horrific call where I was like, how did they make that? I know that like one of the offensive foul with like a little less than 2 minutes on, Donovan Mitchell drew a lot of ire. And I was like, nah, he kind of hooked him. Like, you could make that call. Now, I don't know if I would have made that call. I think I probably would have gone with a no call there. But I don't know that, like, I think it felt like a lot of 50-50 calls broke against the Jazz in this one.
Kurt Heelan right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. Also, you saw Joel Embiid just on a mission last night. You knew that he took that game against Rudy Gobert very seriously. Yes. Where is he at right now in your current MVP standings?
Joel Embiid is one of the players who plays best with a chip on his shoulder, right? Like, some players don't really rise to those moments. Joel Embiid is better when he's got a genuine anger about something or has, in the Kobe Bryant style, created a straw man to be angry at and then uses that for his motivation. He was mad at Rudy. He was going to take it out on Rudy Gobert because, frankly, Rudy Gobert, I deserved to be third team All-NBA last year. To answer your question, he'd be on top right now. And part of it is that LeBron and the Lakers have stumbled lately. I think those are your 1-2. I think LeBron has a better narrative. Let's just be honest. If we're going into a playoff series, if you're asking me who the best player on the planet is, I'm still taking LeBron. But if for this regular season so far, I think Embiid's been a little better. We'll see what happens in the second half. And then Jokic would be third, and then it would drop off into I'd have to think about who was fourth and fifth and on, you know, Lillard and a whole lot of people are Harden. Harden's not going to win it.
Yeah.
Man, he's playing well.
Oh,
he is playing such good basketball, but he can't. There's no way he'll win it because myself and other voters will be like, yeah, I still count Houston. I still count that ugliness against you, but it might be hard to keep him off the bottom of the ballot.
So, Kurt, watching Ben Simmons last night and watching his anger and his aggression and his drive. I've only got to see him really through four quarters twice in the two Jazz games, yeah. But I've only seen him maybe two other times so far this year, maybe a total of two or three quarters where I've actually tuned in to watch him. Does he always play that salty, or is there a little no. extra saltiness there?
There's been a little extra saltiness since the trade rumors. He's been playing better, I think, but much more motivated, much more focused since the rumors of him being traded for Harden were, you know, since that bounced around. That seemed to put a chip on his shoulder, like, you would move on for, you know, a certain amount of, like, you would move on from me, and I'll be honest with you, I would have moved on with him for Harden. Like, I would have, yeah. Philly, if I would have made that move. As much as I think Ben Simmons has advantages, James Harden is just a flat-out better player, and you sacrifice some defense, and yeah, I'd still do that. But I think that lit a fire under him. And I got to get, I'll also say this, some credit to Doc Rivers for both motivating him, but also putting him in better positions to succeed. They're using him to run the offense in transition and in spots where he struggles more is starting the offense in the half court. Well, now, and running some pick and roll there because he's not a shooting threat. Well, they've gone to Tobias Harris to do more of that, and Tobias is better at it. He's just he is a legitimate shooting threat, and you can have Simmons is a smart player. He cuts, he moves well off the ball, and he can find some gaps. So I think they're using him a lot better, but he has definitely played with a lot more energy since the trade rumors.
Kurt Helin right here on the Zone Sports Network. When you look across the board and you look at exactly how this the Western Conference is playing out, the Jazz have lost three out of four. Do you think less of them in the long run, or is it just the ebb and flow of a NBA season?
More that. It's just ebb and flow. I don't think less of them. I don't think that this they're a little tired. This was on a four-game road trip, a little tired at this point in the season. I get and now, by the way, you're the team with the target on the backs, right? Like you might have snipped. I don't want to say slipped past team this, but now you get everybody's full attention every night. Because hey, here come the Jazz, best team in the West, best record in the NBA. I think it just caught up. I think they'll be fine after the All-Star break. I think there's a few teams that'll look better after the All-Star break and a few days off. LeBron's looked pretty tired, and you can go on down the list. There's a whole lot of them. So, but I don't hold it against them. I don't think this one particular game, like, oh my gosh, the Jazz are in trouble. And it's like, no, the Jazz will be fine. They're going to be there. I mean, are there questions that they're going to have to answer them in playoffs? Absolutely. But those are the questions we had, you and I and all of us had before. Mm-hmm. They're not new.
I totally agree with you, Kurt. It is interesting to look at this four-game stretch and say you had a motivated Jimmy Butler, a motivated yep. Zion Williamson, and a motivated Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons, and you went 1-3 in this four-game road trip. But you continue to say it's right before All-Star, and you're not putting a ton of weight saying, well, this is more the identity of the Jazz.
No, I don't. I also don't overly weight one or a string of regular season games. I just tend to think that there's context around those games with who's healthy and who's not, who's where they are mentally and where they're not. And so, again, little strings like this don't matter. It's the overall push. Now, if they come out of the break and struggle for the first 2 weeks, we might have a different conversation. But not right now. Not at this point. This is still an elite defense that has found a really nice offense, and I don't think that balance is going to shift all that much.
Is there a concern on your part in terms of middle of March when guys come back from All-Star break, because they say no partying, but it's NBA players, so there's going to be a copious amount of partying going on. Is the NBA, and are you concerned that we might see a little spike in cases come up here in a few weeks?
Are you suggesting players might go to pool parties in Vegas as opposed to hunkering down with their nuclear family somewhere for 5 days?
Very much so, yes.
I'm stunned by that kind of news. I assume the league is. I've read about this. I expect a bump. There is a bump this week, but it's all Toronto related. There was what, 7 positive tests this week, but between coaches and players, but it's all Raptors. This time, I think it's going to be a little more spread out. I think you're going to get some cases bounced around the league for just that reason. Guys are going to go to clubs. Guys are going to go and party with friends. They're going to, whether they go to Vegas or not, they're going to be going somewhere and partying with friends. And the guys are just going to come back with it. It just, to me, it's inevitable. There's going to be a spike, and it's going to be much tougher, though. If it's just tougher to schedule those games in now, right? Like that second half of the schedule is just packed for everybody. And if the Spurs lose another game or the Raptors lose another game, like I don't even know where these games go anymore. Like it's really tough to find spots in the schedule to fit them. And I'm not sure every team is going to get to 72.
So that's, you know, that's kind of my point too. When you look at these NBA players and trying to get the season in and the games and such, is do you anticipate, and I know it's been kind of going back and forth a little bit, but should these guys start being able to be eligible to get vaccinated, or should they wait their turn like everybody else?
I'm kind of in the wait your turn. I get why you want to do it, but I'm not about to put them in front of seniors and in front of, you know, first responders and healthcare workers and even people in the restaurant and stuff industry. I think that matters, not only matters more to people, but frankly, it just matters more to the economy. It matters more to the general recovery than basketball players. It just, you know, it's not like us sports writers who are completely screwed over in this process and should absolutely be able to jump the line because we're vitally important. I'm kidding.
Well, I mean, yeah. You know, based on the BMI of a lot of us, we're already eligible. So, you know, it's
unfortunately, I had this conversation with my wife. I'm like, well, once the gyms open up again, you and I need to spend a month like really trying to eat healthier and get into the gym. She's actually been better. She's running. She's much healthier than I am. She's a runner. And so that really hasn't stopped, but I desperately need to get back into a gym.
Hey, Kurt, I wanted to ask you about one of the top NBA stories right now on ESPN is this story about Overtime Elite, the pro basketball league that's launching in September. That's going to compensate high school players between the ages of 16 and 18 up to $100,000 that will go towards college tuition as well as full benefits. Is this going to change things? Is this a story we all need to follow?
That's a really good question. If this is these kind of things, this kind of shift, I mean, I think we're seeing a shift in the process as in general as well with things like the G League Ignite team that's got a couple of lottery picks and a lot of draft picks playing in the G League this year as opposed to having gone to college. I think you're starting to see a shift. I don't know if this one in particular is going to work. I don't know if you're going to be able to pull 16 to 18 year olds out and make this thing work as well as they think it is. But I think that there is a shift towards, I think you're seeing a shift in how these programs or how youth basketball in America is starting to work. I'm also really curious. I'm just not sure if this is in the best interest of the players and how it's ultimately going to work out, because yes, the players are getting paid, which fine. Or getting money towards college. But it feels in many ways like some AAU teams where there's a lot of adults making a lot of money on this, and a lot of shoe companies who have reasons to be motivated for this. And is it really what's best for the players is I'm not convinced, but I'm not fluent in how this is going to flow. And I'm also terrible at predicting things, because if you tried to explain NBA Top Shot to me, I'm like, what kind of drugs are you on? And clearly I am just wrong.
I keep talking to people that are in this NBA Top Shot, and they keep telling me that, hey, this is the real deal, and everybody's talking about all the money they're making on this thing. And
I don't want to say fabricated market is not the word I'm looking for, but it's that Bitcoin digital market. And I'm just maybe too old to really grasp why that functions as well as it does, but it absolutely does. So, and it has created it's a digital trading card. And I had cards as kids. And when I got older and realized that, man, why do I have seven of these? What the hell are they? Oh my God, they're Walter Payton rookie cards. I should take care of those. like when some of that stuff happens, you know, like digitally, I guess I get it in a broader concept, but I don't know. It just seems weird to me.
James Harden makes his return to Houston, and you know, Houston's obviously a dumpster fire right now. Just how bad is that organization, and how long is that rebuild going to be for those guys?
I think it's going to be a while. I think they're trying to. They just need to stockpile assets. I don't want to say they need to go full Sam Hinkie process, but they got so many draft picks from that Brooklyn team, and I think we discussed this when the trade happened. A lot of them are pretty far out. Like Brooklyn looks great right now. I'm not sure what Brooklyn looks like in 2-3 years, and I really don't know what they look like in 4 or 5 years, right?
Yeah.
So, like, those picks could be really valuable. I just think it's a longer process. They're going to trade. They will trade P.J. Tucker. They will try to trade Victor Oladipo. I don't know. I'd be curious what the market is for him. I'm not sure that they're going to be able to make that work because Victor Oladipo wants to be a free agent, wants to test the market, believes he is worth a lot of money, and I'm not sure everyone around the league is as convinced. So we'll see if they can trade him as a rental or not to a team. But, yeah, it's going to take years, and they're going to be pretty bad for a while. And hopefully Silas is a guy who can develop players because, I mean, they got Christian Wood. Like, there are some pieces there. They miss him desperately with him out injured, but it's going to be a while.
Where's your coach of the year vote right now?
That's a good question. It's funny. I was just starting to think about awards the other day, and where I was going to put people. And I just started listing out. I think Quinn Snyder has to be on that list. Tom Thibodeau has to be on that list. Monty Williams has to be on that list. And then kind of go through from there. Doc Rivers, frankly, probably should be on that list. Philadelphia has really kind of found a groove with how he uses them. So, I mean, there's a few other guys. I'm just putting that together, and I think feel like Coach of the Year, you know, we will come out in the next week or so with our, starting next week with our awards, mid-season awards. But I feel like Coach of the Year, the list I'm putting together, is more like a college football award watch list.
Yeah.
Then it's actually going to be like a pecking order. It's not like sixth man of the year. All right. Look, if somebody's going to beat Jordan Clarkson, they're going to have to beat Jordan Clarkson at this point. He's taken a healthy lead, and he might go, you know, full secretariat at the Belmont by the time this thing is done on this race. But you're going to have to catch him. I don't feel that way with the Coach of the Year. Like, there's a bunch of guys bunched up.
You know, Tibbs is going to win this thing. Like,
probably.
If
I had to vote right now, he'd probably be on top because Doc turned a team with assets into something good, and Quinn Snyder's job has been almost a multi-year process, right? But man, that's not a good roster in New York, and they're defending really well and winning a lot more than I expected.
Yeah, Jazz fans are already getting prepared to be upset about this one. Well, hey Kurt, we appreciate it, man. Always fun catching up with you, and look forward to catch up again here real soon.
Take care, guys. We'll talk to you next week.
You got it. Kurt Elin right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone. Tibbs is going to win that thing.
Yep. You're certainly getting the feel that it won't be Quinn. Every national voice we've had on is like...
Yeah, which just breaks my heart, but sadly I think that's the way it's going to go.
Yep.
All right, Hans and Scotty here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. Excited coming up at 105. I've seen this guy all over the West Coast Conference and a bunch on the Mountain West Conference basketball road trips as well. Richie Schuler, coach. He's coached in basketball. He's now color commentator. Makes the rounds around the world of college hoops. We'll talk to him coming up at 105 right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone.
This is DJ and PK.
Craig Bolajack, TV voice of the Utah Jazz.
I actually love the post game. I love the display of emotion. I wouldn't want it on a nightly basis, but I think in an isolated case, I enjoyed the fact that Mitchell and Gobert went off because if nothing else, it shows me how much they care.
I think what I heard last night was not only a statement for the team, but for the organization and the state and the fan base. That's what I heard. You know how hard they work. You know the frustration that comes with the game and losing. But this team is dialed in to take it to the next next level. And they don't want to be disrupted for things that they can't control. And I think it's just been building. Conversations I've had that it's a frustrating issue that's gone on. You can tell for not just this season. It goes way back. Carl and John would probably tell you the same thing.
Catch DJ and PK mornings from 6 till 10 on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. It's time to spin the wheel and talk some sports. This is another edition of Sports Roulette with Hans Olsen and Scotty G on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. Time for another edition of Sports Roulette. Take some of the storylines we've not had a chance to get to. Put it on a nice little roulette wheel. And then Austin, who's hanging out with us, is going to spin that old wheel. And wherever that little ball lands is what we end up talking about. So with that, Austin, fire it up.
New hire for the Utes.
So, I don't know, this doesn't move the meter probably for a lot of people out there, but it is an important job and one of the more thankless jobs in all of college athletics, as the University of Utah has a new, as my internet just kind of bailed on me here, has a new director of football operations, somebody who's been around for the program for a while, but Adam Fry, who has spent the last 8 years in the program in various positions, now becomes the new DFO. And that's the guy who makes the trains run on time. Everything non-football, non-on-the-playing-field related, travel, hotels, food, all of that stuff, that's the guy that makes it go. It's not an easy job either.
Thankless
to say. And that's kind of why we'd like to bring it up, too, because, you know, that's probably the last time you'll ever hear of his name again, unless something goes really, really bad.
Yeah, they only get mentioned when budgets are blown up or if there's some type of major violation, spending violation or something. But for the most part, these guys just fly under the radar. This position was vacated by Jeff Rudy, who had held that position at the University of Utah for as long as I can remember.
Yeah.
And Jeff Rudy was able to get a promotion, which is great for him. And Adam Fry will step in. He's been a GA, so he's been on the field for the last 3 years. As you mentioned, 8 total. The other 5, he was just a bunch of different administrative positions there with the University of Utah. And good for him. I'm sure that's a perfect fit for Kyle Whittingham, probably very familiar with him. But there were some really good candidates up for that job. That is a coveted position. And there's some really good candidates that did not get that job that I'm kind of surprised. Because there are some very qualified people in this.
Very talented, qualified people. Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. So congratulations to him. And he's the guy that I'm sure will have a very close relationship with Kyle Whittingham. And the better he does his job, the more golf Kyle Whittingham can play. And so he needs to be good at his job.
Uninterrupted. That's where Kyle is at in his life. That's more important.
Yeah.
Should be.
I did a couple of years ago. I was talking to somebody, and he's like, man, you know what? Jeff Rudy's the one that really makes the trains run down there.
Yeah. And those DFOs, they take a lot of calls from athletes and their problems, too.
It's a great point.
Yeah. They filled a lot of the different issues that athletes are dealing with. I went to our DFO a couple of times.
Like, hey.
Needing.
I've got a problem.
A place to hide.
Well, that makes it sound like
you're going to need to hunker down in your office for about 3 days.
Got to wait for something to blow over a little bit.
Our DFO is Mike King, and that guy, he was a protector. Good dude.
Hans and Scotty, 97.5, 1280 The Zone, and the Zone Sports Network. Let's go ahead and spin that wheel.
I bet the UFO could have outrun the cops.
That's probably true. Baker Mayfield, 25 years old now, Baker Mayfield claimed yesterday, Scotty, that he and his wife, Emily, saw a UFO. This is what he sent out on social media. Almost 100% M and I just saw a UFO drop straight out of the sky on our way home for dinner. We stopped, we looked at each other, and then we just asked if we really saw what we just saw. It was a very bright ball of light going straight down out of the sky towards Lake Travis. And then he asked, did anybody else witness this? Well, I haven't seen the report yet, but Nate Burleson, who's also an NFL guy, said that he witnessed the UFO and that he was going to share the full story a little bit later today on social media. But Nate Burleson said, there's no question, aliens definitely exist. It sounds like he's describing more of a falling star or a meteor, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Because here's his description of it. A very bright ball of light going straight down out of the sky towards Lake Travis.
This is in Texas, right?
Yeah.
You've seen what came out later about this.
No.
It was a planned 3-stage launch and return by NASA. Right there in that area.
Is that the one that blew up?
Last night?
No. Oh, I guess.
It was there, last night, right?
Well, there was a couple nights ago, there was a rocket that they brought down, and then they tried to bring up, and the whole thing, maybe it was an Elon Musk thing. I don't know.
But, I think that was SpaceX.
Okay.
I know what you're talking about, Scotty, but this is a different thing.
They're all
thing.
Right there. Yeah, it's right. The NASA's right down there nearby, and I'm sure that's what this was.
No, I'm sure it was.
All right.
That's what the government wants me to think.
Okay. Austin, I know Lloyd's opinion on this.
I heard you yesterday. You think there's aliens.
Oh, for sure there are. 100%. This is a big old world out there. The galaxy's huge, and we're just a tiny little speck on that. You can't imagine. You can't tell me that we haven't had some people that have thrown by some drones to check things out and see what's going on around here.
Again, I go back to the whole. I think if that were the case, like somebody would stop in and be like, "Hey, how are you? Like, what
have you seen us?" Nobody wants to hang out with us.
So I try to put it
some weirdos down there.
I try to put it into context of us going to other places. Like if we found another place,
yeah,
we wouldn't send somebody there and then be like, don't tell anybody we came. Don't tell anybody we're here.
Oh, I don't know. Like me, if they've got technology that might be, you know, you don't want to mess around with people that you don't know what you're dealing with. They might look, you know, we're an aggressive bunch down here. You know, who knows what we might send back your way. You just kind of like. Kind of nudge in and see what's going on. Maybe take a peek here and there.
I'm pretty sure if we found something with other life, like the guy in the craft would be like, oh my gosh, there's a freaking 300 deer. Like you wouldn't be able to hold that in. Like if we found that Avatar planet, it'd be fun and cool.
See, and this is where you confuse me, Scotty, because you also said something I thought that was spot on
with
other
the
day.
Trump thing.
Yeah,
yeah. No, that's
the last 4 years. It would have all been made public.
You know, Trump would have tweeted out something. That's the thing. Like, and that's why I think maybe people hid some info. Like, hey,
gave him a fake book.
We do not let him go to New Mexico. He cannot go there.
But didn't they declassify a bunch of UFO stuff? I thought that Trump like actually declassified it.
Yeah, you mentioned that. I couldn't remember that.
It wasn't. Was it UFO or was it the JFK looking into that whole thing?
I thought it was. I thought it was our Air Force.
They write in there Ted Cruz's dad.
I thought it was our Air Force's experiences with interactions.
It may have been.
With.
But I think whatever it was, I think it became what came out to be declassified was really benign. Like. They declassified the time of day that it was discovered or something.
Yeah, something like that. But I would like to think that if we do have little visitors from other worlds, that they'd stop in and just be like, hey, what's up? Or come collect what you need, man. Like, if you're coming to harvest us, harvest us.
Go to Alabama, pick up what you need, and get out.
Yeah, and stay in that region. And if you get full or you're not quite filled up there, head to West Virginia.
Yeah, there
and
you go.
Get out.
And then you got to go.
As long as they don't start creating weird veins everywhere, like in that Tom Cruise movie. Remember how they were spraying veins all over the place?
Veins. I don't remember this
War
one.
War of the Worlds, right?
War of the Worlds.
Oh, you know what? I didn't... Yeah, I watched
Do you remember
that
the veins that it's...
Yeah, they harvested our blood to spread their own living organisms, and as that spread, the veins went all over the earth.
Well, that doesn't sound fun at all. You remember...
It's a feel-good movie.
What's that one movie where
It's like, did he or did he not get abducted? And then the end, they show him getting abducted. Fire in the Sky. Have you not seen that?
Yeah, I have. I have seen that. Yeah.
That one messes you up.
Guess I don't need to see it now.
No, you should watch it. D.B. Sweeney, isn't it?
Yeah, I've seen
Fire in the Sky. You just kind of spoiled it, though.
They're stopped.
Well, I mean, you kind of knew the
whole thing. They're stopped at the train tracks, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And this guy, he's a logger, and he's like, I got abducted. Everybody's like, no, you didn't. And he gets the lie detectors and stuff. And then, and then he remembers, and they show what happened, and you're like, ooh, that does not look pleasant.
I told you, have you checked out any of those Unsolved Mysteries, the reboot on Netflix?
No, I have not.
Well, they went to a small town. I want to say, where was that small town? Maybe Minnesota? I think it might have been Minnesota. They went to a small town where there were like 8 or 9 people in the town that were abducted, and all of their stories match, and there were a bunch of people that witnessed the bright lights.
Yeah.
And Unsolved Mysteries did a whole discovery side of this UFO experience in this town. It about had me sold, because you know me with Unsolved Mysteries. Like, I just sit there and try to choke back the tears of fright, because I love that show. But I don't know. They say that they didn't corroborate their, you know, that they were all independent. A lot of these guys that had their stories didn't even know each other, but met each other in the spacecraft.
Wow, really?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a crazy one.
I might need to watch that one.
Yeah, go look at it. Those Unsolved Mysteries are my favorite.
Well, I need some level of resolution. Like, by the title
you don't
alone,
get it with those.
You know, I want to know, like, he killed him, you know, or that happened.
I know. But that's the thing I love about this. You would love this, though. Like, they've got this high-ranking Pentagon official that the last footage of him is him wandering in a parking garage, a little bit disheveled, his shirt's kind of partially untucked, and now he's just gone. But
like, disappeared?
Yeah, gone. This dude was served in multiple military positions through, I think, 2 different parts of the war, and he had high ranking in the Pentagon, and he's just kind of wandering around the street like 2 o'clock in the morning, walks into a parking structure, and everybody's like, we really got to find this guy. Like, he's one of our true American heroes, and nobody even knows where he is anymore. So I'm keeping my eye open for him.
If he walks into the old paradise, we'll have him mad.
Oh, man. He comes back for seconds on that sushi.
Ding, we got him. Bam.
Calling him up.
Do they, like, on the old Unsolved Mysteries, they have, like, a phone number at the end? Like,
yeah.
If you...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they definitely want your help.
If you're gullible, call this number.
No, stop. Gullible. No, come on, man. They want they want everybody's help. Man, I love that show.
It works, too, every now and then.
It does. Yep. They will solve. Every once in a while, we'll get an update.
See, how many people in the mafia did that high-ranking military guy owe money to?
Well,
did they talk about that?
Yeah, they
did?
They do. They go into who his dealings were with.
Uh-huh.
And some of the speculation of what might be, and who had issues with him. So there's definitely some of that.
So it's not, they're not saying it's definitely aliens.
No. That took him?
Yeah.
No.
Oh, I thought it was the aliens that took him.
No.
That's what this whole topic
was.
Yeah, I thought
it was the fact that he, like, disappeared, like he got abducted and he's getting a treatment somewhere.
That's what I thought you were saying too.
What did you just do? What kind of treatment?
Just, you know, just dissecting a human.
Oh, man. Oh, Scotty.
What would be worse, abducted by aliens or taken by the mob if you owe money?
The mob. The mob!
I don't know. Maybe the aliens are going to take you to their friendly world somewhere where they...
I feel like the mob fills your boots with cement and throws you in the water.
Well, you said what would be worse.
That's what I'm saying. What would, you know?
I'd rather be taken by aliens.
Oh, I meant what would you rather? Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I'd go with the aliens 9 times out of 8.
Oh, dude. But, you know, they're like, no, man, I'm not cool with that. Those aliens?
I feel like their death, to my death at the hands of the aliens will be a little swifter.
I don't know. They want to dissect and see what's going on inside that body.
the way Hollywood portrays your interactions with aliens, it is not good. Like,
that's why you need to watch Fire in the Sky.
Give me the mob. I'll be drinking water in 5 minutes. The aliens? I'm going to be wondering.
But maybe they're like, hey, Brent, come back to our world. And it's filled with sushi. I don't know. Maybe it's awesome.
Maybe they need a new king.
Yeah.
Our world's filled with sushi. Just jump in this big old bat of sushi and eat it. Eat your way out like the guys drank their way out. In
like what's that show? Strange Brew?
Strange Brew. You gotta drink your way out.
Oh, I gotta pee real bad.
I'd kiss you, but I got sushi breath. I'd kiss you, but I'd just puke.
That's another movie you've seen, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Good. All right. All right, 1248, Hans and Scotty. Richie Shuler is going to join us coming up at 105. It's all right here on the Zone Sports Network.
Would you mind telling me who you are?
This is Hans Olsen and Scotty G, presented by Rocky Mountain Chevy Dealers on 97.5 1280 The Zone in the Zone Sports Network.
.97.5, 1280 The Zone, Hans Olsen, Scott Girard. On your Thursday afternoon, big show coming up today. Hey, guess what? With it being, because we found out yesterday that Gordon's like 51 years old.
Again.
Oh, it was his birthday yesterday, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That's right. I think Gordon can go get the old stick.
No question.
He falls, the jab.
He falls inside. Of the new age limit as of March 8th is when we get the change on the age limit to 60.
50.
50?
50 or above.
How fast is this going? Like, everybody's going to have access here within the next month and a half?
So I'm saying 4th of July, Spencer Cox lighting off that Roman candle with a mask in it in a parade.
I can't wait, man. I can't wait till he shoots that thing up in the air. It explodes, cotton everywhere. Hey, I was going to mention this because it does have something to do with sports. So you just gave me a suggestion to go watch a documentary.
The Murder Among the Mormons?
Yeah.
Yeah. Started watching it last night. Austin, have you watched this thing?
I've seen a few extended trailers before it came out.
Our guy Randy Rigby's in it.
I know. Played an integral. He was one of the first guys on the scene.
Like the first guy on the scene.
So,
and was partners with the unfortunate fatality, the first fatality in the bombing.
So I'm 30 minutes in, which is not a good point to maybe, because I you gave me the suggestion like 11 o'clock.
I know.
And I instantly turned it on.
Yeah.
And 11:30, and I just, for some reason, a little fatigued, started to pass out.
You were so tired?
Yeah, I lost consciousness about the time they were talking about white salamanders. And I'm like, what the hell?
just keep watching.
Slip me a psychedelic here? What is going on? So I need to watch right through that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to finish it when I get home because I feel like I left at a pretty bad part.
Yeah. But seeing Randy Rigby in there and the role that or what he had to endure, it just blew me away. I've known Randy for, almost 20 years now. And I had not heard him tell that story. But considering what he saw and what he witnessed, I wouldn't be sharing it at dinner parties either.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm excited to kind of get more into it. So this was like 1984 downtown Salt Lake.
84, 85, yeah.
Downtown Salt Lake City, huh?
Correct.
You had never heard of this?
No.
I'm still surprised by how many people don't know this story.
Well, I had known about it. Just vaguely, but didn't know any of the details at all. So, you know, I knew about Mark Hoffman. I knew about the bombings. I knew that it was the son of Mr. Mack, right? That the was the first fatality, and but I didn't know all the details and all the other stuff that went along with it.
Did you see who put the documentary together? It's the guy that did
Napoleon Dynamite. Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, well, okay. Jared Hess.
Yeah. There is a have you watched? Oh, no, Austin hasn't watched it. There is a point where you can tell where he said, okay, it is a documentary, but I want to have some fun with this. And they recreated these two dudes in a car that wanted to go shoot some guns.
Oh.
And he made it look a lot like Napoleon Dynamite.
Oh,
like just a couple of Gomers out there trying to shoot guns and have fun and with a fast car.
That's in this?
That's in it. They like, you know, they recreate a scene. And you know that guy that talks like, you know, the weird voice guy at the very beginning of it?
Yeah, yeah.
He and Mark Hoffman, they got this sports car and they ran off into the woods somewhere to shoot off some guns and stuff like that.
And they recreate it.
You could tell this guy's like, all right, I'm gonna take some liberties and have some fun with this.
Oh man, you gotta love those recreations.
But I keep waiting for like, I'm not proud of this, but no. Sorry, that's a different documentary.
That's exactly the recreation. I called B up, and B came and picked me up from work.
Frustrated. Anyway, we should probably stop now.
Yeah. Some documentaries are more difficult to watch than others. That was a
so far era. So far no twist like this.
Oh man,
I'm going to count it as church history homework though. That's I'm
there
checking
you go.
That off on my duty to God or whatever.
Abducted in plain sight?
No. The Mormon one.
Oh, what? I was like, what the heck, man? I don't know if that's
sorry. I'm sorry. Ill timed there.
Jeez, man. Jeez, Austin. Church history.
I don't know if you want to bring that up in the old doctrine class. I don't think that's going to work out well for you.
Oh, B.
Oh man, Hands of Scotty.
That's the roughest documentary I've ever watched in my life.
Oh boy, yeah, I may have said something. Ute Shasta trailer kind of called me out on something that was unintentional. Ute Shasta trailer, that's my bad. All right, Hands and Scotty, 12:59. Take a quick break. Come back. This is 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network.